I've again read the E.B. article on mystery religions. Those religions, especially the Orphics, stressed anamnesis. Plato did too, and those following him, as did Pythagoras. Note: Dick consistently seeks to uncover some trace of the so-called unwritten doctrine that Aristotle associates with Plato in the Physics, an association that some see as outing Plato as a secret Pythagorean, for whom ultimate reality is revealed by number. Dick also seeks to identify Plato's doctrine of the forms with Parmenides' idea of being as a well-rounded sphere, opposed to the nothingness of non-being. This notion seems linked in Dick's mind with another borrowing from Parmenides, to which he makes frequent allusion, the famous Fragment 3. For it is the same thing to think and to be. Also important to Heidegger, whose radical interpretations of the pre-Socratics may have influenced Dick, this fragment identifies the activity of intellection, noesis or nous, with the essential being of things. We might also take one further step and cite Empedocles' Fragment 28, which appears to allude to Parmenides. But he, God, is equal in all directions to himself and altogether eternal, a rounded sphere enjoying a circular solitude. The kernel of Dick's vision is the mystical identification of the soul's capacity for intellectual intuition with the being of the divine. S.C. Endnote. I ask this as perhaps the most important question. What is the connection between being possessed by the deity, which I aver is the same as finding the kingdom of God, and recollection of one's former but forgotten divinity, as in Orphism and Neoplatonism? Is it a becoming for the first time or a return? Is it new or old? Receiving or restoration? This is important because if it is a restoration, then we are, or anyhow were, divine in nature and lost it or forgot it and can retrieve or remember it, get it back. Of course, again, I wonder, how, if we are divine, did we come to forget that? This is, of course, the concept of the fall. This fact, if it is a fact, we fell and forgot, having descended into non-being, which is the same as forgetfulness. Here now I am back to my early conjectures and ponderings, and there seems no end to this, no solution. I know that I experienced anamnesis, which suggests the recollection, Neoplatonist view. As set over against the Christian view, although for us now, 2,000 years later, it would now carry the aspect of restored memory of events 2,000 years ago, i.e. the Savior, Jesus Christ. This is what confuses me. I remember a Savior who told us it was a new experience. I remember his new message. Observe the paradox. In a crypt 2,000 years old, I have discovered new news. The other night, the thought came to me. The first of the old prophecies are beginning to take place, or words to that effect. Check supra. If I were to assume that we are entering the parousia, which could well be, but on an undisclosed timescale, then I would characterize this interval from my own actions, feelings, and stance, my own intuitions and sense of what is, parousia or not. This interval seems subjectively to me to be one of firm, even harsh, preparing for combat. I sense no love at this time, no reaching out to forgive or understand or embrace. I sense muffled drums and a mysterious movement, a coming and going leading to a settling in position, as if places are being taken, sides drawn, positions, stations, occupied, probably for a battle. Maybe Elijah was indeed here. Now I am back in my 14-month study of this, to where I began. Someone was here, rushing powerfully through my life. Our lives, our world. Something has begun. It started with that fierce, zealous spirit and evidently ended with the Buddha is in the park, which is to say, unto us a child is born. I have a continual feeling that I am on one specific side in this. I have chosen, or have been chosen, The last thoughts which came to me were, "Rest. You will be guided when the time comes." I sense myself waiting. Days pass. Nothing happens. But I am waiting and feeling restless, really waiting in the true sense, not just passing time. This time period has a clear quality of being a time of waiting rather than mere emptiness, as if things had fallen through, evaporated, or gone wrong. What lies ahead? I sort of sense myself as a samurai now, hard and stern, much less sympathetic or bathetic. My dream recently of carefully returning the bulging purse, bulging with coins, and finding that it belonged to Geborg, and that Borg was close. She is close by. The figure which has been with me from the start of this, just out of sight. In addition, it is possible that my enormously strong subjective intuition, if not perception, that I personally was drawn into history by the divine power is equally accurate. Surely this is one way by which that power operates, seizing upon individuals here and there to perform in concert an action which will have permanent consequences generally, which is to say, in the arena of history. As I keep saying, I feel retrospectively that Tears and very likely Frolics 8 were both engineered subliminally, carrying in encoded or steganographic form material from the Logos or Godhead concerning the Logos or Godhead as a tiny part of some general historic communications pattern. I think that shortly after Tears was released, for me the subliminal became thresholded into consciousness and so forth into 374. That is, put psychologically, I could not continue to thrust outside of awareness these extraordinary items in my books and in my life, but had to face them without averting my recognition. I was in the midst as an active participant of something enormous and frightening and dangerous, but very thrilling, and the direction as well as instructions upon which I acted lay in the area of what people call the supernatural. I think under the hidden direction of the Logos, I did my part, and then had to fight like hell to survive the backlash. But to play a role in history under such a guidance, what greater joy could there be than to have had that, even if briefly? The greatest pleasure for the greatest reason. It is not the extent or importance of what I did, but that I did it under that guidance, and to have been made fully aware of that by the guidance itself. A gracious act toward me, and probably not necessary. It must have been given from love. My overwhelming intuition at that time that I was, and had been, playing a small but real role in history was probably accurate, because at that time I had an absolute insight into the way everything linked up and functioned together, which is the mystic insight par excellence. I should assume, though, that my vision of my role is only meaningful in the mystical frame of reference, as contrasted to the everyday in which objects are discrete and there is no total unity. What I had is common to mystical experience, basically. But it was legitimate and real, and I should hang on to it, I am. Equally real was my awareness of fighting off an absolutely evil enemy intent on zapping me once and for all. And real, too, the sense that I had lured it to destruction, assisted it in falling into its own snare. All of these perceptions were legitimate and accurate. They were disclosed to me partly to assist me in extricating myself from that danger and partly, I do believe, as a kind of reward to me, inasmuch as I had over the past years lost so much. In effect, I had lost virtually all my material possessions. But I had gained my soul, if by soul you mean consciousness of one's own identity and purpose for living and reason for acting and the ultimate disposition to which one would go. It became a sensible life in the midst of shambles, fear, and chaos. A million chips, bits, fragments, and broken pieces lay around on all sides in great heaps. But in the center, as if the Tao itself, I had discovered a disclosed form, my own reality. In the hands of the God who said once, "I will never fail thee, I will never forsake thee." The most beautiful passages of the Scriptures became clear to me and pertained to me and my life during all this, which in itself is a gift beyond compare. I conversed with the Scriptures as if I was in colloquy with a friend. Once opening it at random for comfort, I put my finger on, "Tell him that Elijah is close by." I count Elijah as one of my closest friends. It is good news to know that he is close by. But again, that bespeaks the surfacing of the fulfillment of the first of the ancient prophecies, which is of extraordinary importance if it is so. 5.193. Last night, June 2nd, I had a blissful, truly mystical experience, which is probably the first one I've had in the strict sense, inasmuch as it was a state, an ASC, with vast understanding and comprehension as to how everything fitted together. But lacking any and all adventitious percept system experiences, as I had in 374 and 275. However, had I never had anything else, it alone last night would have dignified my life immeasurably. How to record it verbally, though, I don't know. It linked it all up. That's a lot. A basic realization. My 374 experience, the intervention by God in the world, was not an anomaly, except in terms of my experience of it. That is to say, it was a natural, regular event, which I had just never seen before. However, it always goes on, went on, will go on forever. It is the perpetual re-establishment of equilibrium and harmony relating to the Tao and to Mat. Primarily, I began by realizing that along the lines of Parmenides, when he denied the testimony of his senses as regards to what is, in actuality, what exists, I realized that, 1, there is no visual sense organ evidence of God at work anywhere in the world. 2, I must either deny that God, then, is at work in the world, or I must deny the evidence of my senses. Therefore, I took the course last night of denying the testimony of my senses and said, God is at work in the world, but below the surface, so that evil, although empirically evident, is not actually in control as it appears to be. Further, I realized, a discernment past superficial reality shows evil to be, or anyhow at one time in the past, prior to 874, to have been in the saddle in a much deeper way than it allowed us to see. In other words, evil masked its own power, the more to control and enslave us. So at first step, a penetration into the heart of reality showed it even more evil, or in the control of evil, than did mere superficial analysis. However, below the ring of iron around us, Rome as the metaphor goes, I saw that God had breached, penetrated, and in fact made hollow this evil, had turned it into a shell by something transforming it from within, into its opposite, which made me recall Taoism, and I think it was Empedocles, one of the pre-Socratics, he or Heraclitus, I suppose, the point being that one of them had argued that any quality contains its opposite within it and will be transformed into it, yin into yang, etc. If pressed far enough, what this then yielded to in my thinking was the concepts of palantropos and palantonos, the whole trampling structure of reality in which there is balance and equilibrium established as a regular matter of course. This is the real fabric of reality. What I saw was an extreme example, as the long New Yorker six-part piece on the constitutional crisis discloses. There was an extreme action, hence an extreme reaction, the parabola effect. I was there and saw it happen. Everything in me and around me started its return journey. The turning point came, and retreat, to go to the I Ching, transformed, I mean was transformed, by the immanent mind into advance. I conceive of this in Taoistic and Greek terms, Tao and mind together, like a sentient, thinking, loving Tao, which is, I think, Mat. 374 was indeed a special, even unique occasion, but only in degree, and in that I got to see it for some reason. It doesn't matter why I got to see it. I did, and that is that. Hence my acute feeling that the end of a long roll of film had passed through the projector, there had been an empty place, and then, aha, a new roll, a very different roll, had been inserted. The parabola effect, carrying me with it. I must have made myself, or anyhow been very receptive, yinish, to the forces active in the universe at that moment. When hexagram 36 changed to some other good one, I was carried along. Note. I Ching hexagram, Ming Yi, the ominous darkening of the light. End note. I must have, as the Taoists or Zen people, somebody anyhow says, made myself empty, Wu. For hours last night, I lay in a blissful trance, sensing the capacity of the universe to rebound, its elasticity. You can't break it. It will regain its shape after any deformity sets in. Probably, this is connected to the vision I had of the two-person game at work. Move and counter-move would be action and reaction, a reaction to restore wholeness, harmony, and balance. Two, a vast law of karma is involved and disclosed here. I do not need personally to react to everything. The universe will do much of that, which provides a basis for understanding Christ's ethical system. When you're hit, you don't hit back, but rather you let this universal mat or Tao do it for you. Really, for Christ's ethical system to work, one must presuppose some universal system of recompense, which he does, much like this. It is important to recall that Mat is judge of the dead, with her feather weighed in the scales against the deceased's heart. Having experienced this blissful mystical understanding of it all, everything I've been into from 374 to now, I am thinking, perhaps I can infer that the parousia are not here in any universal or objective sense, but surely for me as an individual, the entire sequence of depicted events came, and in the order described, which causes me to ask, if, as Meister Eckhart says, the kingdom of God is within the soul of each person, i.e., an entirely individual inner event, then is not the entire realm of the parousia, all of it, within the inner individual soul of one person at a time? But if so, then why do not other people report my experience as theirs? Over 2,000 years, there is no individual report like mine, except perhaps Eckhart? Well, no matter how I cut it, I will have trouble explaining some parts. Note. In his extraordinary German sermons, Meister Eckhart, 1260 to 1327, described the kingdom in the soul as the divine spark, Funkeln, a term that appears elsewhere in the exegesis. He also called this kingdom the Godhead, Gottheit. Such views were condemned by the Avignon Pope as heretical 2 years after Eckhart's death. Eckhart's heresy was considered close to the much-feared heresy of the free spirit that, some historians claim, was like an invisible empire across Europe in the 13th and 14th centuries. The core of this heresy consisted in the denial of original sin. Sin does not lie within us, but within the world, which is not the creation of the true God, but of the malevolent demiurge. Therefore, we must see through the evil illusion of this world to the true world of the alien God. We might link this to Dick's view that orthogonal time will make it possible for the Golden Age, the time before the fall, to return. In the text of Eckhart's papal condemnation, we find quasi-Gnostic utterances such as, "All creatures are one pure nothing." I do not say they are a little something, but that they are pure nothing. All this can be linked to Dick's later Eckhartian allusion to humans as corruptible sheaves around divine sparks. S.C. End note. In an effort to understand how this parabolic reverse direction comes about, I turn to the I Ching by memory, alas, about the seeds of the future being buried in the present. Always the seeds concealed of the future are here now. If we had a method of discerning them, which could mean set ground discrimination. Anyhow, I am at this moment in sudden wild ecstasy, because viewed this way, such logos material, as I've called it, as the dream in tears plus Prelude's song After the Gold Rush are very likely, wow, such seeds of the future emerging as fragments of that impending, cohering future now. This would set them apart from all the objects and constituents which are purely part of the present. How extraordinary it would be to all at once see, would you believe, in a special illuminated red and gold shimmer of color, these seeds wherever you looked. You would be seeing tomorrow. It would enthrall you, as if time had moved backward, the future building itself here and now. You might then manage to discern the shape of future things, the pattern emerging. Or you might not. Well, then, by this token, what I have seen indicates the parousia. So we are back to it as an objective forthcoming event.